right, let's see if this is going to work. I hear something. So this is Center Update with Dr. Gary, an opportunity for me to share a bit about what happens often behind the scenes that's not necessarily apparent. You've already heard Dennis mention about the upcoming town hall meeting. I just wanted to give you another nuance to this. So our annual membership meeting is in February, and I think I'm illustrating why I should not be allowed to create PowerPoints when I'm undergoing a healing process. All right. Well, thankfully you've acknowledged and that you're paying attention. And so yes, this is January 8th. And so our annual meeting is in February, and it's important for us to have an annual meeting that really turns the tide for our ministry. The things that are happening in our world and things that are happening in Unity Spiritual Center are really pivotal, and it's important for us, for those of you who are in ownership of this ministry and want to see it thrive and flourish, that you participate in our annual meetings, because you're going to hear information about what's happened in the past year and what our vision for the next year is going to be all about. And in order to make that business not just sort of be an all-day thing, we have our town hall meeting to answer questions about some of the items that will be brought before our membership body. And so it's an opportunity for us to explain our budget and introduce some of the new trustees that will be coming onto the board, and also to be able to answer any questions with respect to how leadership functions and serves the members of this ministry. So our town hall meeting, as well as our annual meeting, is open to everybody, regardless of your membership status. It's just that you're only able to vote if you're a governing member, which is different than the community member. For those of you who've joined the church since Jane and I are here, you're community members, not governing members. It doesn't mean you're less than, it just means that you haven't fulfilled all of the steps in our process towards that that important role. With that said, there's the membership meeting, and then finally the last thing I'll say is that because of the holidays, we went on a little hiatus with respect to our congregational wide mind movie project, which is our effort to create a mind movie for everyone in our ministry to help manifest a greater good. And so that is unfolding nicely. We have had several meetings. Our production team is fully up and running, and they're in the process of completing their movies, and they've been assigned to 30 members of our church. And then once that wave has fulfilled itself, sometime through this month, we'll have another congregational workshop and invite another wave of people who are interested in having mind movies made. You'll hear a lot more about the mind movies. We'll be sharing some, and if you've kind of fallen behind the curve or a little bit late in understanding what that whole thing is about, you'll be brought up to speed. No worries about that. And with that said, we'll get ready for our meditation time.
So let's take those words into our hearts as we join together in prayer and meditation. I invite you to just sit back in your seat. Get still. Relax. Put aside any cares or worries or thoughts that you brought with you today. And take this time for you. And as we focus on our breath, we let it bring us into this now moment, serving as the anchor. Keeping our head and our feet in the same place. For it is only here and now that we can experience the presence of God. The divine presence, the healing presence. always with us, never leaves us, just awaiting our recognition. And so imagine following your breath right to your heart space. If you want to put your hand on your heart, you can do that. And as your breath moves in and out, bring into your mind's eye someone or something that you deeply appreciate. Choose a person or a pet or a cherished memory or a place of beauty. Whatever it is, make sure that it brings forth a feeling of appreciation. You don't want to just think about it. You want to feel it. And now allow that feeling to grow and expand as it warms your heart. As it moves beyond your heart, filling your body. Just imagine every cell of your body is on fire with this beautiful vibration of appreciation, gratitude. And now with the next breath, let it expand even more beyond the body as we create together a sacred space, an energetic field of appreciation, compassion, caring. This is the healing power of spirit, generated from within each one of us. We are all here to be the one, to be the avenue through which God is expressed, to surrender to that greater mind, to the global heart, and to allow it to bless our world, bless our families, our communities, our planet. Each one of us can be the presence of peace, can be that healing vibration of gratitude, can bring compassion into a world where that needs it. And as we continue breathing into the heart, allowing this feeling to express beyond the body and sending it forth, we imagine all those places in the world where there is suffering, where children are hurt, where there is war, hunger, violence. And we see this healing, soothing, loving presence. Surrounding and enfolding each and every being, filling them with strength, with peace, with comfort. And we are grateful. Thank you, Blessed Spirit, for a brand new year as we affirm together a year of magic, finding the magic. It's already there. We allow appreciation to open our eyes to the blessings that await us. And we are each here to be the one to make the difference. And for this opportunity to serve Spirit on this day, we say thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.
You can always count on music to improve things. Isn't that true?
Yes.
It just makes things just better. Lifts you up. Oh, I heard those words somewhere. All right. welcome to your first Sunday service here at Unity Spiritual Center. And I say this because I've always wanted to do a talk where everyone was at church for their very first time. Because there's things that I want to share with people, if this is their first time, that require a whole talk to be able to really convey what I'd like to share for somebody who just walks into this spiritual community, you know, without any kind of context of what they're getting into. And I want to share some things to new people that you wouldn't likely hear in a Sunday talk because you just don't have the time to really take care to really give people what they need to be able to decide whether or not this is a good fit. Because I think it's important that people can discover that, and that any obstacles in the way of that are removed, so that people can decide very quickly if this is their right and perfect place. Because if it's not, you know, why waste any time? That's on one hand. That's one way to look at it, I guess. Anyway, so in my thought about what I want to share with people, this being their first time, it's often my experience when I'm during the Sunday service, Jane and I are very sensitive to the fact that we have new people from time to time, and it's especially pivotal as to whether or not they're going to connect what is said and what is felt and how we are with those new people. So a lot goes into a person's experience in determining whether or not they're going to come back. And so I just thought I'd in terms of my part, my role, I wanted to give it some extra special thought. And so one of the things that I would want to share with anybody who is here for their very first time, that is important for them to understand the difference between Unity and other traditional denominations, especially in our Christian culture, is that Unity is not a theology of beliefs. We're a theology of consciousness. And that's important, for an important distinction insofar as everyone who comes to their first experience of a Sunday service comes from some other place. I mean, how many of you have come from Catholicism? Many people. How many of you have come from a traditional fundamentalist background upbringing? How many of you come from a more progressive, perhaps, Disciples of Christ or other denomination that perhaps is a little bit less rigid, maybe? So we've all come from someplace, and if you're to hang out here with the Unity folks, you're going to, in some ways, have some kind of adjustment to make with respect to your belief system, because our belief system is quite different. And so it's less important for us to kind of trade in our beliefs, so that here you came in with Catholic beliefs or Baptist beliefs or religious science beliefs or, they're okay, but other... The point is that you've already come with a lot of baggage, and so we're not interested in heaping on more dogma, more stuff for you to kind of sift through to decide whether or not it's your truth or not. And what is belief anyway? When we look at belief, it's just really a surrogate to whatever it is that we're wanting to experience and to know. And so we have a belief system called Christianity. But can you experience God through belief? Not really. You can only have a kind of conceptualized relationship with something that you're describing as the divine or a source. But the point is, can you have a direct experience of what you describe as the divine or your essence or source or God or spirit? And that's the distinction that I'm wanting to convey that unity offers, that what's more important in terms of what we are as a theological community is that we want to understand the power of belief in consciousness and how that either brings us closer to a direct experience of God or further away. And so as we look at unity and as we look at our unity community, that what we teach, what we practice, what we espouse is all about bringing us into a greater alignment with truth, something that transcends belief. And yet truth in and of itself is something that we all have to ultimately define for ourselves. No one can say this is what's true, and that's really the problem with a theological system based on belief, because you have to believe the story if you're going to fit into the community, if you're going to fit into the religious context. And so many in unity identify with the principle that I'm spiritual but not religious, or I'm drawn to that spiritual dynamic as opposed to a religious ideology that is really telling me what to believe, how to think, how to be on the right side of things. And I don't want that kind of spiritual conditioning. And I don't want our congregation to feel like you have to just accept what's said as being the gospel. I want you to question everything, because it's in your capacity to really use your consciousness, your awareness, that you can really transform your lives. But we have to learn how to free our mind, and that can't happen if we're entrenched in a belief. The couple things that I prepared to share is that unity has often been described as a path for spiritual living or positive living. These are efforts to kind of brand unity in the context of that new demographic that's emerged in our society called the cultural creatives. People who are sensitive to what's happening in the world and are searching for spirituality as a means of empowerment and comfort and healing and awakening and transformation. Unity's founders were Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. They discovered unity in part because they discovered unity, not because it was a church, but they founded unity in the sense that what was missing in Christianity was a scientific approach to applying spiritual principles that transcend belief, the limitations of belief. And so unity became a part of a genre called New Thought, because there was a movement in the Christian progressives in the late 1800s was all about really unleashing Christianity as really being a positive force for transforming the planet. Charles and Mel Fillmore never set out to start churches. As they grew older in their roles in unity, they were quite the good babes and young people. And then they grow old, and they're sort of like us. You know, and they brought forth a great work, but unity ultimately lives in this context, or this is our origins. Unity is a link in the great educational movement inaugurated by Jesus Christ. Our objective is to discern the truth in Christianity and prove it. The truth that we teach is not new, neither do we claim special revelations or discovery of new religious principles. Our purpose is to help and teach mankind to use and prove the eternal truth taught by the Master. So, once again, the idea here is that our work is to discern what the truth is and prove it, not to take something that a hierarchical system of bearded old men who are homophobic and decided that this is what you should believe because it helps us control you. If we free our Christian theology, our heritage from that context, we have a very positive way in which we can find benefit and support. But ultimately, what I'm wanting us to really look at are the five basic principles of unity, because this is, if you're brand new to unity and wondering what it is, and if you're, even if you've been in unity for 50 or 60 years, you probably still can't explain it to anybody yet, right? Right, you still can't explain it, because it defies the traditional context for us to explain what it means to be in an effort to have a direct experience of God. You can't just, oh, let's begin our conversation, let's talk about our direct experiences of God lately. So, I mean, it's not a good conversation starter. So we don't even have the ability necessarily to describe what our experience in unity is like, because it's hard to describe what it is that we do that is our practice of unity. Right? What do you do that is your practice of unity? Well, do you watch your thoughts? If you do, well, then that's good, because that's what we do in unity. We pay attention to how our thoughts create our reality. So there are things like this that we want to really acknowledge, that are our way of how we do what it is that we call this, that is unity. And then there's something even more specific that we do that is even more unique, because what we do here at Unity Spiritual Center is another dimension of taking what unity is to a level where it's being birthed into another dimension of what unity has become and is being. I need my water. Excuse me. I'm either going to start in a coughing fit in just a moment. Hopefully I won't do that. Just as an aside, whenever Jane and I are in these kind of severe cleansings, you know, the interesting thing about this one is that typically when we're this sick, one of us is better off than the other. You know, it's like, you need anything? Good, I'm glad you don't. You know, and so we're both so sick we couldn't even help each other, and it's the kind of sickness where you just want your mommy. You know, my mom's passed on, but I mean, it doesn't mean I don't want her still. You know, I just want my mommy. But at the same time, it's a deeply spiritual experience for both of us. We don't take getting this sick lightly. We get all the mileage out of it as humanly possible. Anyway, okay. So where was I? All right. So our first basic principle is that there's only one presence and one power active in my life and in the universe, God the Good. We speak this on Sunday morning, in part as a way of setting the intention around why we've come together, because this is not an easy basic unity principle to embody. The principle that there's just God going on and nothing known is against us, because we've all come here with some evidence that a part of our life isn't quite working the way we want it to. and we think it's against us. And yet, it's important for anybody who comes into this ministry to know that our effort, your minister's effort, is is to help you be with whatever you're having and experience the truth that regardless of what you're having, it can't be against you. And if you know this at depth and have gone through a practice, you'll learn how to not feel diminished by what you're having. But that requires practice. And so this is going to be something that is an important part of anybody who becomes more and more involved in unity will want to know how. How do I be with an experience where everything in me wants to push it away? How can I be with it and be grateful for it? And that takes practice, that takes effort, that takes training. But you can be with whatever you're having and use it as if it's for you, and therefore not be diminished by it. And would that not be worth something to have as a part of your spiritual journey? The takeaway being is I can have any experience, and everything that I'm having is my abundance, regardless of how it looks or feels. And can you not feel the power in being able to stand in that awareness? So that's our first foundation principle. Now, you don't have to believe this, but you do have to prove it. And that's what we're up to. The second principle is related, because if there's just God going on, it means that God is our life. God is our essence. We are inherently good and more than enough. We are whole. So this is another important principle, is because part of our spiritual journey is to know our more than enoughness. That's the truth of us. That's our wholeness. And yet we can't just play homage to that. We just can't have that as our belief. Oh, I'm just going to believe that that's the truth of me. We have to experience that. And we cannot experience our more than enoughness, our wholeness, without there being the capacity to value ourselves in a way that transcends all of those internal wounds that we carry, you see. It's not a clean thing. It's icky inside. And without there being a spiritual practice and a community to support that deeper inner shadow work, then we're still living on the surface of life, looking to get God to change the way our mirror works. You ever try to get God to change the way the mirror works in your life? I don't like this being reflected back to me this way. You know, thinking that if God, God would change the way the mirror worked if we prayed right. But you see, God is not going to change the way our life looks and feels, because God knows our life, no matter how it looks or feels, is not against us. But how we're being with what we're having determines whether or not our life looks or feels against us, not how our life is unto us. The third principle is this one of my favorites. No, pardon me. Let me see if I can practice. That's much better. So the third principle is that we create our own reality through our thoughts and our beliefs and how we're being with what we're having. And this is important for us as unity people to know. We need to have in our awareness a working understanding that the basic principles, there's just God going on, and if someone or something's against me, I'm living in the disconnect. That's what the first principle says. So when I'm having someone or something against me, I'm in my own disconnect. The second principle is knowing our own worth, knowing that we're more than enough, knowing that God is our essence, that when I talk about myself, the highest way that I can hold myself is up as the one, because that's how God has created me. And the third thing is that through my thoughts and beliefs and how I'm being with what's happening in my life, I create my personal reality. And that gives us a handle on accessing our power once we understand this. But this is one of the harder principles to practice, because You know, we can say yes to my thoughts affect my reality. We can say yes to, I can see how I'm being with this situation affects how that situation is with me. That when I'm being with it out of a sense of inadequacy or unworthiness, that it's going to feel as if it's lack or there's limitation. So I can see that intellectually, but you see, where effort needs to be is that we need to have a way in which we interact, knowing that the problem is not out there. The problem is how I'm being with it within myself. And so where's my spiritual practice, and how does that help me free my mind to be able to have a different context within which to observe my experience, because the observer effect is in effect. For those who know quantum science, for those of you who have ears to hear, let you hear, so to speak. Then finally, not finally, the fourth piece is that we transform our life through spiritual practice. So the good news is that if we have issue with our personal reality, is that we can transform our life. And it's important for us to know that we can transform our life, because the current reality that we're experiencing got created by a mind. And so we can acquire a different context for our mind to begin to collapse the wave of infinite possibilities into the kinds of experiences that really serve us, but we have to learn how to intervene with respect to thoughts that just take us in weird places. And you all acknowledge that there's a voice inside your head? Does anybody not know this? because that's important for us to understand. See, we all laugh that we have this voice inside of our head, you know, but the reality is that it's a tormentor, isn't it? Are you ever tormented by that voice? And it's hard to shut it off, right? Well, without spiritual practice, it's impossible. But with spiritual practice, you can shut it off. You can dial down the volume so it's not a big deal. So the effort that we put into spiritual practice is going to translate into an improved life. Now, the challenge with spiritual practice is that, you know, we need to understand that spiritual practice is about developing a relationship to the interior of your beingness. In other words, for you to really understand how your thoughts and beliefs, can you see yourself looking through a belief? I mean, you can if you have a system of looking at your mental processes, but are you in the practice of doing that? And so these are some of the tools and the things that we teach in Unity, how to do this. That's right, in the practice in spirit groups. So, you know, we have the Q process, which helps you identify those limiting beliefs and those shadow qualities, helps you identify who and what you've come here to be, gives you an opportunity to be able to shift into complete ownership of what you're having so you can use it in a way that fulfills a greater purpose in your life. There's all kinds of practices that we bring to this effort of really transforming our life. And finally, we must be the change that we seek in the world. So the bottom line is that ultimately, whatever we would want to witness in the world, in terms of it being an improved place, only can happen when we are taking authentic action, when we are being that change. And so ultimately, while we may have a belief in our own sense of not enough, we have to take action in the context of the truth that we're more than enough, even if we don't necessarily feel that all the time. We still have to take action as if that's the truth of us. We still may have feelings of inadequacy or unworthiness, but it doesn't matter. We have to still act as if we are more than worthy that we do make the difference. We are the one if we are to see something better in the world to happen. We can't let our unworthiness or inadequacy be the reason why we cannot make the difference in our world. And so the last thing I'm going to say is that typically in most churches there's a receiving of the love offering. Almost not yet, Jan. We're not going to do it yet. Okay. So I'm just talking about that ritual. Almost all churches, you know, that's really important. It's integral. It's essential. 9 out of 10 churches in the United States are in decline. And so the love offering is a huge thing. And almost all churches have a strategy for funding around how... around their Sunday love offering experience, and we do too, but ours is a little bit different. And you should know this too, that while Unity Spiritual Center is not unlike the 9 out of 10 churches that are struggling because of money, our way is that we believe that as our community prospers, then the church will prosper. But we can't do it backwards. In other words, you have to prosper first before this ministry is going to prosper. And the fact of the matter is, you won't prosper yourselves until you take that step and move into your own experience of generosity, your own experience of your own flow of that abundance. So it's like a catch-22. How are we going to manage this conundrum of our not enough? How is it going to play out for us together? Are we going to kind of be in this struggle of insufficiency, or are we going to be moving towards, as best of our ability, to begin to awaken now our more than enoughness through all the ways in which we're asked to express the truth of who we are, whether it be in times of giving or in times of sharing our love, our light, our life, our abundance, whatever. So I think those are all the things I wanted to say to a brand new person on their first Sunday service in the Spiritual Center. Thank you so much. God bless you.